Turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2. And we're going to kind of talk about some lessons we can learn from the wise men tonight. And the story of the wise men traveling is kind of intriguing because they're not even of the Jewish descent, yet they see this star that God has placed before them, and they decide to follow it. And so there are some things we can learn from them in doing that. And they traveled several months just to see this baby in person. And I believe it's more than just a story that can entertain us or, give us something to think about. It's really, truly lessons we can learn from them. Now, before we get into that, I want to have a little fun with you. And we'll talk about what if they were wise women instead of wise men? What would it look like? Well, first of all, they would have asked for directions before they arrived in Jerusalem, and they would never have alerted the evil King Herod. So that's the first thing. They would have arrived on time and helped deliver the baby. They would have cleaned the stable and brought something practical like diapers and wipes and maybe a casserole for everybody to share. And then the last thing is there would have been peace on earth. So all the women can say amen to that. All right. Yeah. So as we're looking into chapter 2 of Matthew, the first point I want to look at is God makes every effort to reach people who are far away from God. Now, if you're in this room, then I would probably say that you're pretty close to God. You're not one of those who are far away. But how many of us have people we know who seem pretty far away from God? I'm thankful that we serve a God who cares for them as well. He used a star to reach what really were some pagan, Gentile, magician astrologers. That's all mouthful, right? But he wanted to bring them to Christ. So he put up a sign that they would know. And if you read in Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, it says, "The Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, 'Where is the one who's been born King of the Jews?'" Why would he say that? Well, it's King of the Jews because that's what the Jews believed was going to be their Messiah. They saw this star in the east and have come to worship him. Well, these wise men, they were on a mission to find this newborn king of the Jews. That's what's fascinating to me is to first, we have to remember that like these wise men, there are other people who maybe don't know God in the same way we do. But God can use many things to bring people to him. And in this case, it was a star. It was something they understood. They studied astrology, so this was different to them. This was something that was brought to their attention. And to the Jews, the promised Messiah was for them. But in fact, for God, this was the Messiah for everyone. And he still is today. Secondly, they don't even share the same religious views, but they knew science as well as magic. There was lots of things they were into, but God never abandoned them. God never gave up on them. He gave them the sign that would bring them to Christ. He'll use whatever it takes, including a star. And I think of someone in my family. I'll just say on my mother's side. That's all I need to say. But there's someone who, once again, I would almost picture being about the furthest away from God as they could be. Just based on outward appearance. They seem to have zero care for that. To be honest with you, it's hard to find anything positive in their life. And in looking at this, it helps give me hope and a desire to continue to pray for them and to continue to believe that there is still hope for that person, that God can still reach them. And there might even be something I can do to be the person that brings them to God. And so I'm looking at this from the outward appearance going, what can I do to, like God did, use something that is maybe in their language? If these were astrologers, this star meant something to them. But we don't have to really, violate commandments. We don't have to compromise our integrity. But we may have something that we can use that can bring others here. And when I say here, I mean to Christ. If you're thinking that person, I would just say, don't give up on them. Remember that God cares and that he will continue to love them no matter how far they seem away from God. The second thing we can learn from the wise men is God wants us to diligently seek him. We need to know God. We need to know things about God. We can learn that in His Scripture. But it's more than just knowing about Him. It's actually seeking Him and longing to have that relationship with Him. The danger we fall into is thinking that we know about Jesus and that's enough. We can have all the knowledge of the Bible. We can follow those commandments. But if we're not seeking Him, we're not truly looking for Christ. And they were willing to go to how many miles? It said 500 to 1,000 miles. I don't actually know. It said could be up to 3 months, if not longer, that they traveled looking for the Messiah. Many times we give up a little too soon when we're looking for the Messiah. When we're seeking God, you know, something just comes in the way and we think, well, guess it wasn't for me. But we don't find ourselves continuing to follow Him and seek Him and find Him. And we see the religious community in Jerusalem are these people. They're the people that knew the Bible, the people who lived out the letters of the law and the Scripture. They did the ritual of following those commandments. They knew all about the Scriptures, but when these wise men show up, Herod and all these religious leaders were stunned to find out that the Messiah had already been born. They were disturbed, and it even said troubled upon this news. And they had either not seen the star or else they didn't understand it. But for one reason or another, they had missed it. They had their eyes set on following the right things, doing the rules, but they weren't focused on who the Messiah was. And somehow they missed it. But these wise men came with this information. And if you could imagine, you know, if a satanic worshiper walked in the building and started telling us that God had showed up and we missed it, we wouldn't probably like that. So I kind of picture these wise men showing up to these religious leaders saying, the Messiah has come and you've missed it. But notice they didn't even seem to care. They said, well, why don't you go check it out and then come back and report to me. That's what Herod tells them. None of them, it doesn't say that any of them actually took the time to travel the simple 6 miles to where Jesus was born to see it for themselves. So rather than being overjoyed by this news, they were worried or probably skeptical about it. And they just told the wise men to go check it out. So when we come to the knowledge of the Bible and these ideas of what we're supposed to do to live for Christ, it's more than that. It's actually about seeking Him and seeking Him until we find Him. Jesus promised this, seek and you will find, knock and the door shall be opened. Hebrews 11:6 says this, and without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who, what? Earnestly seek Him. There is a reward when we seek God, just as there is a reward for these wise men who were seeking the Messiah. We can also learn from the wise men to remember to worship Christ. When I come together on nights like this, even though there's a smaller number, I don't look at this and just go, well, I wish there were more people. Sure, I wish there were more people here. I would love to have this place packed on Wednesday nights. But I look forward to just another opportunity to come together with God and worship with you. There's something to that where we're just drawn to one another. We're seeing you. Holy Spirit, you're welcome in this place. And may we never take advantage of those moments. May we always take time to worship Christ, especially in the Christmas season when we're looking and celebrating the birth of Christ. And think about all that He has done. It can get really crazy. We can find ourselves really busy. We were having men's breakfast this morning, and one of the gentlemen that was there talked about a business he used to own. And during the Christmas season, it was one of the busiest times. And he said it was so busy that he dreaded the holidays. And he looks back on that now, and he says, it's so sad because I used to look forward to December 26th. I just couldn't wait to get through it, because it was such a miserable time for him. But church, this is some of the best time for us to focus on the birth of our Messiah, the Savior, the one who came for you and for me. so we can learn from the wise men as they finally found him. When they finally reached him, look at verse 11 of chapter 2. Upon coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary. They bowed down and worshipped him. Now I tried to imagine that, and it's such a humbling thing. If you can imagine these grown men, very well off, taking time to bow before an infant child. They had to have known he was something special. Do you think they went around kneeling and bowing to every child that was born? No. But there was something special about this baby. And they took time to worship him. It says they opened their treasure and presented him with gifts of gold, incense, and myrrh. But they bowed down. That bowing signified a submission to another in authority above them. This being a child, a baby. There are many ways for us to express our praise to God and to worship God. And I really didn't want to use this tonight because there's a whole other sermon in this. I'm going to use it, but just know you'll probably hear this again after the new year because it's something I've been working on anyway, and I decided it went well with what we were talking about, so I pulled it into this sermon. But in the Hebrew, there are seven words for praise. And each one of them have a little bit of a different meaning. And I want to give them to you because it shows us why we come in this building. And the first thing we do is we throw some music on and we begin to worship God. And many people probably come in never understanding why we do that. They probably don't understand why we say, lift your hands and worship God. We get it. We're in church all the time. We know what we're doing there, but many people don't. But as we look at this, it's kind of a good reminder to understand what we're doing when we worship God, when we play these songs, when we lift our hands, and what we're actually doing. So let me give you these seven Hebrew words for praise. The first one is Todah. It's a Thanksgiving choir. It's a group of people coming together to worship God in Thanksgiving. The next one is Barak, which is kneeling in Thanksgiving. That's exactly what the wise men did. They knelt before the Messiah, and they honored him. The next one is Tehillah. It's to sing a song of thanksgiving. Once again, that's what we've been doing. It's one of the things that we do every service, and people don't really think about it, but it prepares our hearts and our minds as we begin to thank God and think about his greatness and who he is and what he's done for us. It's preparing us for this right here when we begin to study his word, and it opens our hearts to hear from him. And it's what we're doing when we're singing those songs of thanksgiving. That's Tehillah. The next one's Halal, to give thanks by being clamorously foolish. Now, some of us are better than that than others, right? But being clamorously foolish, it's getting excited. That's where we get the word hallelujah. It's to be excited about who God is. The next one's Yada, to give thanks with extended hands. That's why we say, lift your hands and worship God. Zamar is the next one, to give thanks with a musical instrument. Some of us do that, some of us can't. Shabak, to give thanks in a loud tone. Now that's not just with singing. Once again, that can just be, you know, exalting God. It's just like when your favorite team scores a touchdown and you know that you're jumping up and down and you're screaming. You know what? We can do that for our God in thanksgiving of what he has done. But what's the common theme in every one of these? Thanksgiving. It's being thankful. It's praising God for what he has done. That's what these wise men did. The moment they showed up, they worshiped him. And you will go deeper in your relationship with God when you learn to express your gratitude towards him, however that may be. But I tend to see that we've gotten away from expressing ourselves a little bit in church. There's times when it's okay to lay your pride to the side, to walk down here to the front and kneel before our Heavenly Father and worship him. Some of us, we don't have to tell you to raise your hands. You're willing to raise your hands and worship him. But there's ways to express to God thanksgiving and surrender and worship and awe to him. May we remember to do that. May we learn that from these wise men. They presented an offering, three gifts that they gave as a sign of worship to Jesus. Remember that worship also means to offer something that's of value. It costs us something. Christ deserves a gift worthy of his kingship. And the first one they gave, of course, was gold. It was a treasure deserving to a king. The second was frankincense, which was a fragrant scent offered up to God during sacrificial worship. And the last was myrrh. That was used as an oil to prepare a body for burial. It symbolized the preservation of life after death. So these men came expressing these gifts to the Messiah. And each has had a significant meaning. The last thing we can learn is we need to continue to be open to God's Spirit or God's leading. The wise men obeyed the direction of God by following the star. It got them to the point of the Messiah. But they didn't just stop there and go, well, I'm done. We've done our part. We saw him. Now let's get out of here. No, they continued to seek God, and he spoke to them in a dream. Matthew 2:12 says, "And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route." So even though Herod had told them to come back and report, they listened to God. They followed God. And may we continue to seek him. Even though we may have found him, even though we found the Messiah, we have that relationship with him, every day of our lives, may we continue to seek him. May we look to follow his direction in everything that we do. Just because you found Christ, you have not arrived. I hope I never feel like I've arrived. I want to continually, daily, seek his leading and his guidance. Tonight, those are simple things that we can learn from these wise men. One of the things I like about our Wednesday nights is we always try to leave a little time at the end for us to truly just take some time to focus on God, to pray, to not be led by me or by someone else to tell you what to think or what to say, not be led by a song, but to truly take a moment and focus on God and speak to God and even listen to God on your own. So tonight, let me remind you real quick, God makes every effort to reach people. So keep those people in mind that you feel are far away from God, who need him. Don't give up on them because God doesn't either. We must seek him. We must worship him. But then continue to seek him even after we find him, even after he's spoken to us. And as we close this year out, if you think about it, man, we're almost in December. It is almost over. And it's time for us to ask God, God, what do you want from me in 2017? As you look back on what he's done in 2016, now's the time to begin to ask him for that guidance and direction of what he wants to do in you and take you through in 2017. So for the next few moments, I just want to leave you some time to spend talking to God. You can come down here, you can bow before him, you can sit in your seat, wherever you want, but I want you to take some time to truly focus on God tonight. And then I'll close this out either with a song or with a prayer at the end. Lord, thank you so much for the wisdom that we gain from your word. And God, I believe you want to speak to us. Unfortunately, many times we don't take the time to listen, to seek you. And God, may we be drawn to that tonight. May we take this moment, God, and honor you in worship, in honoring you and for who you are, but also, Lord, to allow you to speak to us. In your name we pray. Amen. Lord, you're so good. God, thank you just for being here with us. God, giving us the opportunity to worship you tonight. May you be honored in all that we say and do throughout the week. God, may we be reminded to worship you every single day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.